sound of North Wales. Sound Radio. Sound Radio. Be the big sound of North Wales, Sound Radio Wales Live. It's different for me to be sat here on a Wednesday afternoon, usually in the morning, usually yawning and scrambling around looking for coffee and just basically anything really I can eat in the morning. But anyway, I am joined in the studio for this special, I guess we can call it a special, with Pete and Steve from the Old Library. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, Craig.
There we are. Good afternoon. And Paul's with us as well, hiding
hello.
In the
car. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. So we've been talking a lot recently.
We have,
Backwards and forwards. Been to your premises in Prestatyn, the old library. But I think the basic way to start is, what's it all about?
Well, at the old library, it's just part of what we do, really, Craig, is... About 6 years ago now, Prestatyn was going through a period of change where it was when Park Prestatyn was coming to Prestatyn. A few of the shopkeepers, a lot of the shopkeepers were very nervous that this new out-of-town shopping centre would be coming along and sort of taking some of their business away with the likes of the big chain name coming into. So, with working with the business community and the town council, Steve and I and other artisan friends of ours decided to put on weekly markets on the high street, selling artisan goods from local crafters and artists and things, to remind people that we'd still be on the high street, that the high street's still there. It's a vibrant high street. We've got very few empty shops compared with the national average, and we wanted to remind people, not only have you got the great new shops on the shopping park, but you've also got a vibrant high street. Come and see us. And part of that attraction was Steve and I and our friends in these red gazebos every Thursday morning, come hella high water, very, very often, working there to sell our artisan products. And then after a period of time, the old library was becoming vacant because we were opening a new library. Denbighshire County Council were opening a new library in town. So after a year to 18 months of negotiations, we managed to move in there, with hoping that it could be an artisan centre and we'd sell local artisans' products and goods and what have you. Within a very short space of time of being in there, people were coming in and saying, could you do art groups? And Jane, my wife, who runs the kids' art group, started with the children's artisans, junior artisans, we call them, Saturday morning.
That was the first thing that we did, really, wasn't it? Was the kids' art and craft.
Yeah. So we did that, and then a young lady, Amy, came along and said, could I run a group, but she wanted it to be for people to get something from it, so almost art as a therapy, if you like. And we said, yes, we've got the space, we can do that. And Steve and I both like to think that we're community driven in that way. So we did it, and lo and behold, next thing, the town council came to us. We'd love to kick off men's sheds in Prestatyn. We've got two or three guys that we're meeting. Funding's ending for it. Would you like to take it on? So that, again, was four and a half years ago. Steve and I facilitated it at the old library with a handful of guys, and we gradually built it up, doing similar things to what Sound Radio do in a lot of ways, is through social media and through trying to get as much out there as you can, but doing it in a nice way, the same as yourselves. And then what we thought was, we've got a few more guys this week. Before you know it, we've nearly got 60 guys now in Men's Shed. They've now got their own premises, which is fantastic, but they still meet with us for a social session. So out of that, what Steve and I always said is, everything we do, it's what people want. It's not necessarily, there's some funding, let's go for that pot of funding and we'll draw something around it. We do it the other way. We like to think we do it from the ground up, so we see there is a need for this, you know, in Prestatyn and along the coastal strip. There's a great deal of social isolation and loneliness, and it's recognised. Prestatyn, for instance, is nearly 27% of the population is aged 65 plus. And the national average is about 16%. So a lot of the things we do, although we've got the kids' art group and other things, a lot of it is around loneliness and isolation.
Yeah, we had part of, because it was the old library, we still had people coming in thinking it was the library and wanting information.
Yeah.
So we'd also lost the visitors centre, or whatever they used to call it back then. There wasn't one in Prestatyn. So we've evolved on that level. We've almost become an information centre. So if anybody wants to bring flyers in for events or anything, we have them there. And obviously we've got a computer there, so somebody wants help finding something. If we don't know, we'll get on the computer and see if we can find it.
So technically what you've done in Prestatyn at the old library is just by accident, really.
Yeah,
in a way,
you've gone
into there to do retail and help in that side, and then you've it's like you said, evolved, and you've started from the ground level. You've give people what they want instead of what you can offer.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the things you sort of, you've mentioned obviously the men's sheds and art classes. Is there any other sort of things that go on there that?
Yeah, one of the biggest part of our lives at the moment is the Prestatyn Dementia Friendly Community. We chair the organisation, and it's about raising people's awareness of dementia. Prestatyn, I think, is still the only town within Denbighshire that's recognised by the Alzheimer's Society as working to be good and dementia friendly. Mm. You'll never become dementia friendly, but you're always working towards it. Yeah. That's the way they do it, because you're always trying to achieve better and do better for people. Again, it's probably because we've got the older population. I've been fortunate enough to speak for the likes of the Older People's Commissioner, done lots of things with the Alzheimer's Society, done a lot with the Health Board. And the other thing is, now the Health Board have moved in alongside us with a new format of doctor's surgeries called Healthy Prestatyn Iach. And they're doing doctoring in a different way, if you like. And a lot of what they're doing is getting people's, I don't really like the term social prescribing, but that works for GPs, because to them they understand they're writing something out, they are prescribing something to somebody. But we do a lot of work with the occupational therapists. So, for instance, we've got an outdoor project called the Morpher Gateway Project. And at that project, people come, and it could be something as simple as litter picking on a Thursday. We're there on a Thursday.
People really seem to get a lot out of something like litter picking. They're giving something back, I suppose, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're out in the fresh air, licking, you know. Once they've gone, they might spend an hour. The place is better for everybody else.
Sort of a sense of achievement as well. They've sort of done something and been part of something.
Yeah.
Something to tell people about. Sometimes, like you said, you mentioned people sort of loneliness and things. Maybe they don't get out as much, and it's something for them to go and tell people, I've done this today, and it makes you feel good.
People who've come for that specific reason, because they need to engage with people, and that's why they've been sent along. So, yeah.
Interesting. Do you think it's successful? Because you were saying that there is a high percentage of people over 65 in Prestatyn. Do you think because of the way sort of the world's changed with community spirit and things, you don't really see that much anymore? Is it because they're so used to having community spirit and being with other people and being in communities and working together and talking to their neighbours and things, that's why it's successful?
I think, yeah, I really do, Craig. It's something we're working with a colleague who you've met from Bangor University, and he's an ex-social services guy from over in Manchester. He knows all the demographics and how all these things work, and very often we'll say, oh, we think it's because, and go, yes, that's exactly why these things are. The whole coastal strip, if you like, including Rhyl and probably Abergele, where we are today at Kilmnull Bay, and Prestatyn, Tallaghan, and further along, a lot of people seem to have retired here, come here on holiday, enjoyed the holidays, retired here, and then unfortunately have lost a partner or something. And then that's had a big effect on the lives. They're now sometimes, I was only talking to somebody last night, now away from the family. You know, the family might be in Scotland or down south or something. So they feel like they're on their own up here. But what we're trying to do is enable people not to be on their own. Ask, you know, trying to give them something. That's what Men's Sheds and the Art Group and the Morpher Gateway Project, in my opinion, that's what it's doing, is trying to make a cohesive community, a resilient community, by people engaging with each other. And I think you're right. You know, if I was stuck at home now watching today's TV, I don't see very, very much good stuff on TV or when I open the paper. I know you look at it. I know you're media, so it's awkward. But there is a lot of sensationalism about, and it always seems to me to be focused on the negative. Yeah. And if you get the person out of the house and then come and get involved with community groups and things like that, I think that they say, well, actually, the world isn't all dark. There are nice things out there. We have a bereavement group, and one of the nicest things we see with the bereavement group is the people, they make friends at the bereavement group, and then you see them out having a brew the next day up in town or something, and you think, yes, we've helped them be less socially isolated. And it is community. I think everything's community, and it's a bit like listening to your radio station. It's all about communities, and it's about your locality. And that's, we were talking off air before, if you like, about obsession. And I think that might be one of my obsessions, is trying to get everybody to talk and be together. So,
yeah,
that's the way we see it, I think.
Sorry, Paul, do you want
to... No, I was just interested. My parents, many years ago... lived in Manchester and thought they'd come over to North Wales to live. And my father had lived in the same area since he was born. My mother had come down from Scotland but knew everyone. And they knew everyone in their community. I used to go back home and my father used to tell me who died, what they'd come from, how he was when they played as kids and everything. And he knew everyone. So... in the end, he decided not to come because he wouldn't know anyone over here. Yeah. But many people have taken that move across. And, of course, they need to build new communities. Now, I think my father's community and the people he knew were a little bit different than I think modern communities are, because he worked, he lived, he did everything within a small community, even going and being in the armed forces. When the war was on, he was with what he saw as a community. He was with a group of people. And so all his life was community, even though he was quite a quiet guy. But he knew everyone. He knew their kids. He knew their grandparents. He knew everyone. And I think actually moving away would have done so much harm to him.
Yeah, I think that. Part of it, though, because obviously we speak to a lot of people, is... because they did literally used to come back here every year for their holidays, they do actually feel that it's their second home. So maybe there's not that thing holding them back, but then the actual reality when you do come, like I say, because they tend to be older people, it's a bit different. But the whole, talking about communities, the thing that sort of really strikes me, and Peter and I have spoke about it often, is... where we've lost industries now, industries used to be their own communities, didn't they?
That's true.
They'd have their own social clubs, the miners would have a miners' institute. My father, all those things have gone.
Yeah, my father worked in a steelworks. On one side, we had a steelworks in the ship canal, on the other side, we had farms. It was really weird. It was sort of a blast furnace one side, sort of growing lettuce on the other. It was very, very weird. But everyone, there's 23,000 people work there. So they're all local. They went and everything. One day they closed it down. So
And up the Welsh coast, the bit we were referring to before, there's been quite a lot of heavy industry with those sort of things, like from John Summers's upwards down at Shotton, all the way along the Courtaulls and the other mills along Point of Air Mine. They had they had their own welfare and their own club and what have you. These places closed down, and you know, you've got everything. You used to have kids' parties, didn't they, in the Miners' Welfare Institute and all those sort of things, and working men's clubs and blah de blah. They're not there as much now, are they? And I think
it's the same sort of like the Labour Club in Rill. I used to go there as a kid, and that's sort of all ended. And you just maybe because times sort of, like we said, times change, but clubs and things maybe don't change for the way
there's world lots has changed. Of elements. So it's not just industry's gone, but you've had the big tighten up years ago, wasn't there, on drunk driving, the not being able to smoke in pubs anymore. There were huge people that stopped going out to pubs just because of the not being able to smoke.
True.
So there's lots of elements to it, but it all has ended up with the end result of that, we've lost these community places, if you like, so that's where, what we do, we call ourselves a hub now, community hub, and that's what's become missing.
Yeah, sort of bringing people back together by using different sorts of skills and what people can learn. What's the full name? The old library? Because I was looking
at you. We called it Artisans Collective because that's from where we started originally, Craig. It was a collective of artisans on the high street. That's how we started. We've kept the name since. So
okay,
but we do call it a community hub now. So it's Artisans Collective at the old library community hub in Prestatyn on Nansor. It goes on and on.
Just a short name. Then. Yeah.
We've always kept the old library because we knew that people would still call it that.
Yeah, and sort of recognise. Yeah. Yeah, I think it sort of works as well.
Have you thought of some initials like AC, and then you could have?
We have. But then we have the DC side as well. Yeah. So
we've been talking about quite a few things off air, actually, which we'll sort of touch on maybe in the next half hour or so. One thing I was going to ask, how do you sort of reach out to people?
We use to
bring them in.
Yeah, we use social media extensively. So, and just recently, maybe we found out we're not getting to the younger ones as much as we should do. There's other apps that we're still Facebook and Twitter guys, really, you know, yeah, and a little bit of Instagram thrown in. We do a lot of that, and we're lucky that we've got friends like yourself on the radio, local press. We've been on TV quite a bit recently as well and doing some TV work. But generally, it's word of mouth and getting around town and speaking to people. And there's different ways. We've got our website for everything we do. We've got a different website for it. And we're lucky now with having the health board alongside us that people are being, if you like, referred into us, so they help us. And the men's sheds are refer people across, and we refer people to them. So a lot of it is community stuff, but we still do use social media and the interweb a lot, really. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you've got our town council produce a like a news sheet now. So what we do is on there, along with all the other stuff that they do and different groups. So that's a way of reaching people that are not necessarily on social media.
Yeah.
Because that's always a big concern, is how do you get to these people who don't get the free paper, they're not on social media.
Do you ever go out just talking to people in the street? Do you just bang on doors, that's all?
We don't really get the opportunity to do that, but we do have people who've done it on our behalf, if you like. And we're looking at a new project coming up soon. We talked about off air as well, about social dining. And there will be a little bit of funding involved with that. And one of the ways we thought of doing that would actually be right back down to the old flyers, because it literally will be a concentrated area of housing that where we think people are socially isolated and lonely, and we can get them out of the houses. So we think maybe the best way we're going to do it with them is by flying in the houses. But when we started Men's Sheds, we did something under the terms of the pharmacist, the local pharmacies, with their contract with National Health Wales, is that they have to do so many community engagement things. So, and as part of that is that they can put flyers in the prescription packets, for instance. Right. So when they're delivering prescriptions, or when they're giving somebody the prescriptions, that we could have a flyer in there for a community event or a community, something good for the community. Under the terms of their contract, I think it's 3 or 4 times a year they have to do that. So we used that at first with Men's Sheds, and that was one of the ways, I think, that we boosted the people coming into Men's Sheds, because they go, oh, what's this, my prescription? And I think it works in a number of ways. You tend to trust your pharmacist and your doctor.
Yeah, I think you're more than likely to read something that's in with your prescription than you are something that comes with the free paper that you don't even look at, you just throw it straight in the bin.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. You would sort of trust them more than that's interesting.
Yeah, it was innovative at the time, and we are going to use it again in the future for different things. We've also had new businesses moving into town, and they've come on board. And when you've got a business that, for instance, on Twitter, they've got, say, 14,000, 15,000 followers, and they're retweeting about you all the time, the word does tend to spread. And I've given an awful lot of presentations now down as far down as Cardiff, and we had even up into Scotland for a while, wasn't it, a couple of years ago, doing things. It's about letting people know. We're held up as best practice in a lot of instances now for the Welsh Audit Office, and even Denbighshire County Council themselves last week said that they put us up as best practice for a community hub. So it's nice being able to go about and see other people. I'd love it if things like what we're doing could be adapted for each town and have a community hub. And as part of, there's a thing called the Public Services Board, under the Future Generations Act, the councils now, county councils, are all looking at providing community hubs within the towns. I think cohesive and resilient communities are really important.
It's sort of Prestatyn as well. It's quite a close-knit community, especially with like local business and things, because that's technically how we found you.
Yeah.
Doing the World Cup of Breakfast.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for us, for Kim's being in that as a local business in Prestatyn, we probably wouldn't have met you, and this wouldn't be happening now. So
yeah, we're big believers in that. Again, as we've said before, have a healthy high street, and it'll help the health of people, even if it is over lovely big breakfast at Kim's.
But that's so you've got to take credit for that, haven't you? Because that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Well, it was just an idea, silly idea to me, but it worked, and it's proven popular, and we're going to do it again.
Yeah. It does work. And it's, again, that was the strength, I think, in community and the links from our links, if you like, your links, and obviously Kim's links and all the other caps that were involved. The figures that were coming in were outstanding, weren't they, all the time? And that, again, is about a pride in the community. I don't think Kim will mind me saying she's had some of her best times since that. You know, since that campaign, if you like.
Yeah.
It was the Saturday. It was full, wasn't it? Constantly full. One of the best days she's ever had since she opened.
And timing-wise, the fact that it coincided with winning the competition with it was 5 years since she'd gone in there and taken the cap on. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I'm sort of quite interested in is that you have a range of skills in the community. And Craig perhaps says that was a good idea, but he's been doing radio for quite a long time, and the more he does it, the more good ideas he has, and the more luck he has in terms of getting it right.
Yeah, the more he practices,
the more he does it. But I think that the more skills you have out in the community, you can bring people together. So you have got a range of skills, so it's not just people on their own. You have got a range of skills and a range of knowledge out there that's passing on as well.
And I think that's where we've kept the word collective, because like this morning, the bereavement group, Steve and I are neither qualified or have the ability, I guess, to run a community bereavement group. But we have a friend who has, you know, she's qualified, she can do it. She works for the church. She's a lay preacher or something at the church. But the church themselves could have put that on, but they realised themselves somebody who's just been recently bereaved might want to go straight back into a church because of, you know, the implications, or walk across a graveyard to get to the church, for instance. So that's why we hold it in. That's why I think community hubs are good, because one, people will come speak to us sometimes rather than go to the doctors because we haven't got white coats on. They'll come and come to the bereavement group, for instance, because we're not the church and we're not going to tell them anything. And that's how we literally started getting into it. People were just coming in and pouring their hearts out. And I think that's that link that's been missing in the community. And then you get places like, you know, like Kim's and lots of other high street businesses that are actually looking after people day in, day out. When they go into the shops, they know them by name, and they look after them. And I don't think we give them enough credit for the work that goes on up and down the high street. There's a lot of eyes looking at people and helping people. And we found that the take-up we did with the first dementia-friendly sessions we did was amazing. We got 40 people at a time coming in just to learn over 1 hour the awareness about dementia and how they can help people. And it helps, I guess it would help their business if they can understand why that customer isn't slow or whatever. He's living or she's living with dementia. So, it's good.
It's good to see that with the business as well, it's not just about the money and the taking of money on people. It is giving that extra sort of help, which they don't know they're doing. But like you said, when somebody comes into Kim's Cafe, Kim's Kitchen, I should say, they know them, and they might meet new faces. They might see an old friend. They might just want to talk to somebody to the story, and they've gone out maybe just for an hour and feel better because they've been out. It's good how it all sort of works together.
It is. And even the Nationals, I mean, you know, we've got a frozen food company on the high street. They collect for Alzheimer's in particular, the Alzheimer's Society. But I know the local, they do a delivery service with the vans, so their lads actually take the shopping into the people's houses, and they come back to me and said, your friend living with dementia, he's not very good at the minute, you know. And I said, well, I haven't seen him for a week. And then Steve and his dog go around and see him, you know. And that's no, because he loves the dog, you know. He's had a dog in the past, he relates to Reb. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, this is... Then the people who are working for major companies have still got somebody they can come and speak to and say, I'm concerned about one of your friends. You know, I mean, it's... And that is where the, having this healthy sort of vibrant high street thing again really works for the rest of the community, in my opinion, as well. It's good.
So in many ways, that's an enlarged community hub where you've got a focus then on a clear geographical area where people can come and meet other people all along the way.
Yeah.
They may not know them very well, but they know them enough to speak to.
And yeah.
I've got confidence that they're okay, though.
Confidence is the big thing, isn't it? We've known a few people who've maybe had a fall or a knock, and they won't come out the house then. We've talked, and I think I might have talked to you about this before, that there's a lot of people, one in eight Welsh men is going to get prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, ladies generally as well get weaker bladders and things, you know. So a lot of people are isolated because there was no public toilets, for instance. And this is where maybe I might get a bit controversial. But I'm a big believer in, if you want a cohesive and a resilient community, you have to have public facilities for them to be able to come out the house and to be part of that community.
We spoke about this yesterday on the show, and our accountant, who was sort of in talking about business in the area, he was saying for his children as well, he takes them out. Just as much for people of different ages.
Yeah.
You need to go and find a toilet because children just suddenly say,
I want a wee-wee.
I want a wee-wee.
No, it's true. And there's that dreaded sign when you walk into somewhere that says toilets for customers only. You think, oh, I've got to now spend... And there's no longer spending a penny, it's spending £2 on a drink or something.
And it is, and then you're filling your bladder again, so it's opposite to what you want, isn't it?
Well, what I want to mention is, has it been a sort of a learning curve for you two? Because... Like you said, you went into something with an idea of retail.
Very much so.
Have you got sort of qualifications and background in it anyway, this sort of thing, or is it just like you've just learnt on the way?
Life.
We're just, life, yeah.
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 We're not youngsters.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, we've seen all sorts of things as we've
matured.
Come through our lot. Yeah, matured, yeah. So, but yeah, it was odd. When we first opened, was that we would have people literally come in and pour their hearts out, and it was a bit of a shock to start with. But so you then realise there's a need here. People need somewhere where they can just go and talk. So you know, maybe some people they need a stranger to talk to because they don't want to burden their family, maybe. So yeah, that's part of why we evolved to where we are today.
Yeah, neither of us are trained. We're both from engineering backgrounds, it's totally different what we've got engaged with. But I'm lucky that I've got Steve in a way because we can bounce off each other. Our friends or our users, if you like, were having a hard Friday last week. It was a particularly hard day. A lot of people with issues coming in and what have you. But because we're there together as mates, we've got our own micro community, if you like. We bounce off each other and we work off each other, and Steve will do something quick while I'll sort of sit somebody down and talk through it, you know, and try and help them. And some of the things you come across, it can be quite heart-rending, really, you know. And people don't go and talk to the doctor, or don't go, there aren't as many social workers as there used to be, for instance. And I think, again, having a community hub somewhere where they can come and feel safe and feel secure. And I think we're fairly lucky that we chat once they've gone. We can sort of chat to each other and download, talk it out your system, if you know what I mean, because it can be upsetting, particularly with some people living with dementia. And we've got a number of people now that we engage with living with Parkinson's, and you do see them, you know, we've been there for 4 years, you do see them sort of getting worse over the 4 years, you know. We're all getting older, thank God. And you think, well, yeah, it is hard sometimes, but just imagine if we weren't there.
Yeah.
You know, what with these people? And they become friends, these people. And I think that's the important thing. We're not a social worker, we're friends. So
yeah.
I think that's quite an important point, that actually there are professionals who come and do particular jobs, social workers, doctors, OTs and all the rest. But actually, what a lot of people want is just someone who they can relate to as a friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity to go and meet and find other people is quite limited, really. You've got to be quite brave sometimes to go out there, and in a community such as Prestatyn, you really just want to go and find someone, or someone who listens, someone who's not going to be judgmental, not going to be look at the size of your house, not going to look at the size of your car, or how fast you can run a quarter of a mile.
Yes.
It's basically just meeting people and just talking as human beings.
Yeah.
No status involved.
No, and I think, you know, what right have we got to give anybody any status? I think that's, I worked for big major international companies. I worked abroad for a while, and maybe I've got everything, all that sort of thing, out of my system now. And you get to an age and you think, well, maybe it's time for us to start putting things back into other people and helping other people along the way. I don't know. I think that's why we do it.
I think that's why the sort of radio works for me, the obsession, because you don't realise sort of what you're sort of building behind, well, in front of the mic, if you know what I mean. I've heard before, I don't want to sort of bang on about myself too much, but people who have had comfort in just listening to me on the radio when I used to do the afternoon shows and things, just because you're that voice and a friendly voice and somebody there, and not necessarily there's somebody sat there with them, and it just makes them feel better about themselves. It's I understand sort of where you come from, where you've sort of learnt things yourself and you don't.
And a lot of it is living in a positive way, isn't it, Craig? I think everything, you know, on your radio show, it's all positive generally, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you get the news thrown in every now and then. But, yeah, but it is in a positive way. And I think no matter over the 4 or 5 years, we've had some serious knockbacks and criticisms and things, but we've always responded in the positive. And it's a bit like before when we were saying people are socially isolated, watching the TV and the radio. The radio not so bad, but watching the TV and particularly the papers, the headlines are always negative in my eyes. I've given up listening to TV radio now, to be honest with you, because it's like that. And finally, for the last 5 seconds, we'll give you some good news. And it's not, when you're trying to help people, you want to give them positive and productive news.
Even the papers do it, don't they? They'll have a headline.
Yeah.
That will give you a total wrong impression of what the story is, because they want the headline that you can go, ooh.
Scaremongering.
Yeah.
Sort of tactics.
But if you read into the story quite often, it's not actually headline's suggesting.
No.
And actually, that's a big part. Sorry, Paul.
No, I was just going to say it's a lot of newspapers in general are in decline. The whole news media business, which is basically run by advertising.
Yes.
If you translate that to a digital media online, then they want clicks, because clicks means money to them.
Yeah.
And if they don't get those clicks, and so how you get clicks is by putting something out there that makes people want to just come and have a look.
Yeah.
Just for a curiosity, sort of 10 dead in such and such, or this, they've create headlines out of something.
Yeah.
So that it's actually can get the click, because they're not interested in you going any further than that. They just want those clicks.
Yeah, so that's clickbait, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess just to, nowadays you're very often on some newspaper sites, just get a video and you've got to click that. But again, it's pay-per-click, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's quite, very often Steve and I have people coming in because they've been upset by something they've read in the paper or heard on the news. And we have to sort of, not sit down as such, but talk to them and say, well, actually, this is the truth. This is what's really happened there. Yeah. And Steve goes to a lot of our local council meetings, and we try to keep up as much as we possibly can that's going on with everything locally, and not just Prestatyn, Rhyl as well, and Abergele and everything. And part of that is that you can reassure people that isn't a true story, and there's the council papers that relate to that, you know,
the Chinese whispers thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that goes back
just
to
terrible.
What we're saying earlier about Facebook, how sort of Facebook can be good and bad, I guess. Somebody can put a story on there that's totally on the right lines, but false facts, but somebody can put the true story on and nobody will read it, and but the story with all the false facts will get shared and everyone believes that story, and then look at this, us in the middle who tell it right, hopefully. But the social media, but we'll talk about that as well, there is a sort of there's a positive side to it. You help and you reach out to people on that.
Oh, absolutely. And then I really never appreciated the power of Twitter. Pete used to say, I'd put this on Twitter and everything. Mm. But then we had two or three large organisations, didn't we, who came in and saw us, and they were just over the moon because we were sharing their tweets. So I then joined Twitter.
Yeah.
And there is, you can get your message out there.
And I think a little bit more with Twitter, it focuses you more because you've only got so many spaces to fill, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's been a few times I've had to press the backspace and
delete that.
Take the ands out and put the ampersand in and things like that. Awesome. Yeah, so, yeah, it does, it focuses, and it's things. With events in particular, it's worked really well for us creating Facebook events and stuff. We had the town Halloween event a couple of weeks ago, and there was literally thousands of people come through. And a lot of the people I spoke to had seen it on social media. So it's nice to get a little bit of feedback, ask people how they found out about the event as well. So, yeah, it is certainly down to social media. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we find that a lot of the youngsters, as mentioned briefly before, aren't using Facebook and Twitter in the same way as us oldies. So I think it could change over the next few years. I don't know. Do you use anything else? Do you?
I don't know.
Instagram.
Instagram's it.
Yeah. Instagram. And I keep, I mean, the problem with a lot of the, we use YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube. Yeah.
YouTube. And
but
that's
I don't
more
class that as social media.
No,
but it is. It's evolved now where it is.
I
but
think it is evolving. And things like Periscope linked to
Twitter
and that. I think the more, I mean, how far you go down the lines of Snapchat and all the other. The problem is that they're all a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so if you want to put an image on Instagram or on Twitter, it's different from Facebook, and you've got to cut things down into particular ways.
Yeah.
And you've got to be very clear about what your story is.
Yeah.
And that's got to change slightly for the different audiences. So I think my worry is that you want to hit different people, but you've got to get it right across the different formats. Mm. And you've got to be clear about your audience on those formats, because we're sort of looking at Twitch and other things now as well. But again, you've got to know the formats and how to respond on those formats.
Yeah.
Because it's not just giving things out, it's actually receiving things as well, isn't it? And you've got to get into
that. Oh, absolutely. A lot of people use social media, but it's all one way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I personally find that very frustrating. So they're wanting you to share what they're sharing what you're putting on.
So if you're doing it properly, I think, and you're using all these different formats, then actually you can spend a whole day just saying hello.
Yeah.
Whereas radio actually gets around that problem straight away, because there you go. But even there, you've got now an internet. We're hoping to get onto FM shortly, and hoping to get onto DAB. But all of these things, you've got slightly different formats for different things. And each one costs as well.
Yeah.
So you go on to one and they want some money. You want to go on to another and want some money, go on to another, want some other. So rather than just paying one thing in the past, whether it was just simple FM or something like that, you've now got to go on to all of these others to make sense.
Yeah. Was it a while ago, did the government change it with regards to radio stations and give some to the telephone companies or something, the masts or something that you can transmit on?
That's the plan. The plan is to switch off, well, it was to switch off by 2016, I think, FM, and make everything digital, but I think things have sort of changed now, and they've decided it's not going to change as quick as they thought.
Right. I've never driven a car with a DAB radio. I heard originally when they came out, they were quite signal specific, if you like, in which direction you were travelling and things, but I've never experienced it in a car.
Mine's got one in, and they're fine, they're great.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But again, like all of these things, in some ways, internet's better, because if you're going on an FM, you go out to the area and that's it. Go out on a DAB, you go out to the area. The national ones, like the BBC, do the whole country.
Yeah.
But small stations like ours that have got a particular community are not going to have a DAB signal or a FM signal going for the whole of the country.
Mm.
Whereas, actually, on the internet, You can get it in America, then you can get it in Australia, anywhere.
Yeah.
So
it can be quite interesting when you look at your stats on something like Facebook, that how far you are reaching. Because I've got a friend in Australia, and if she shares something, then of course her friends are going to see it. So yeah, and I think it was with Kim's Kitchen, wasn't it? There was a lot of people in America.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
Yeah, it is, and it's something that I think can expand upon. And I've just been recently talking to a chap, and we've spoken about the likes of the Google and the Alexas of the world. I honestly believe they can actually help people who are less able, for instance, to tune into things and to be more engaged, rather than being just stuck with the telly channels and everything. That you would be able to say, "Oh, Alexa, tune in radio, Sound Radio Wales," or whatever, and get it. And that's but I didn't say too much because my wife's really fed up with me at home now, because she'll be on her computer and a little tablet, and I'll just go, "Alexa, Sound Radio, please."
There you go, and you've just turned everyone's Alexa.
There you go. I've always wanted to do it. It's the only reason I've come in today.
Gone through quite a few subjects this afternoon. Obviously, talking about what you do as a team, how you've your sort of background as well, and we sort of touched on it earlier about Brestatyn High Street, how it's a healthy high street, and I whenever I go, I just love the high street. There's just different little shops there. There's different things. It feels a lot different. Well, it is a lot different to sort of real high street. And
I think it's a lot different to a lot of high streets.
Like
when I moved up, which is just coming up for 7 years ago, I come from down south in Kent, Tunbridge Wells.
And never guessed.
That's a town where the shops were closing. I actually went round with my camera one time and took the pictures of how many closing shops there were. To then come up here, where it's gone the opposite way in the last 7 years, a huge turnaround. And one of the things that really struck me when I moved up here was how friendly people were on the high street. The fact that you would get people would stop and speak to you, which that doesn't happen in lots of towns, does it?
No. Well, why do you think it has been so successful?
Going back to 6 years ago when Park Row, or 5 or 6 years ago when Park Prestatyn was about to open, we launched this campaign called Totally Locally Prestatyn. That was about keeping people's focus on the high street as much as the retail park. And there was a few people said to me, "No, that's the death of the high street. That's the end of it, you know." No, I didn't believe that, because a lot of those businesses are family businesses. And I think a lot of people tend to forget, a lot of the shops up there are literally one-man bands. There's one man working in the shop, or one lady working in the shop, who just run that shop on their own. So they'll be there from 9 till 5 every day doing the thing and getting to know the customers. I know lots of shops that have the same customers coming year on year back. When they're on holiday, for instance, they'll come and wait to buy their clothes when they come on holiday to Prestatyn. It's really good. And I think having the mix of the retail park, which was private investment, it was a company who came along, Tesco's the majority of it, the land that was there, and they built this retail park. I think we've been very, very lucky that it's actually on the high street as well, really.
Yeah. Usually things like that are sort of outside of town, sort of.
That could have killed suburbs. It, couldn't it? Yeah. I think, Craig, if it was a mile away even, it would have made a huge difference, I think, to the town of Prestatyn. I get frustrated, and I've mentioned it before, that there's a lot of people just come and use the park, go to Tesco's, for instance, and drive off again. And you think, "Oh no, come on, come and see more. There is more to the town than that." But I still think it has increased footfall. I also believe that other businesses want to be in Prestatyn, other national businesses. As soon as, for instance, there's been one that was a frozen food shop that closed, and the minute it closed, another health food store moved in there. There was literally no period of closed, and we've just recently lost the NatWest Bank. Another business is open there today. Totally different thing from a bank. It's now a cafe bar. People want to be there, and I think that is the really good thing. Yeah, you know, I'm aware, not just of, we could compare it with Rill, I suppose. People really want to be impressed at him, but unfortunately, some of the places are seeing Rill, there's quite a number of empty units, and we, thank God, we haven't had that impressed at
why,
him.
Why
really.
Do you think that is in Rill?
I love Rill as well, Paul. I've got to say that from the from the start. I've certainly got nothing against Rill.
Do you think that's a problem as well? Before you move, there's this. I've noticed it. I've always lived. There's this sort of rivalry between Rill and Prestatyn, especially with sort of the residents that live in Rill. They don't like what's going on in Prestatyn, and I don't know if it's the same for the people in Prestatyn. Don't like what's going on in Rill.
I'll be frank and honest. I live in Prestatyn. Steve and I come to Rill every week, don't we? We try to spend our money in Rill as well as we do in Prestatyn. I think there's an attitude difference, personally. I think because I've seen, we talk about social media and the downs of social media. Mm. I've seen sometimes on some of the Rill Facebook pages, if you like, saying, oh, Prestatyn, they've had all the money, they've done all this, they've done all that, they've robbed our shops. Well, if St. Marks and Spencer's are leaving the high street in Rill and going over to Prestatyn, there must be a reason. They don't just leave it. They must have thought they could get more business. It was private investment, Prestatyn. All of that park was private investment. Most of the shops on the high street are privately owned, or, you know, it's private investment. So I sometimes you see schemes with money thrown at it, and it's like Steve and I often talk. Is it because the government, the council or something want to see it, but not necessarily the people?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Mm. In Prestatyn, we've got it now, and the people really want to see. Because I put a post up the other day about a well-known bakery chain, that's Marina Key over here.
Greg's.
I did, sir.
I saw the post and I had mixed feelings over that.
Yeah.
I had mixed feelings.
But that was
but did you get what Peter actually put? It was what did people think?
Yeah.
Not their coming.
Yeah. Oh, we want
just
Primark.
What do you think?
That's right. And I wasn't quite sure what I did think. That was the thing because I quite like Kim's and the very local personal bits there.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of a national chain coming with their goods, I was wondering, would that be a disruptive influence, or would it be a good influence because it shows confidence and it's more places for people to come and have something to eat? I don't know, that's why it's mixed.
Yeah, and part of the reason it makes the people think as well, doesn't it? Mm. You know, I don't necessarily, Steve and I can jump in the car and come to Greg's on Marina Key or the one in town here if we wanted to do it in Rill, but it was an interesting conversation because, you know, some people are saying, for instance, oh, our cafes are shut at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and that sort of thing. Well, the Greggs would be open longer and open earlier. But it goes back to what we were talking about before. A lot of those shops are privately and independently run, and people do need a break, don't they? Whereas Greggs would probably have two shifts on during the day, for instance, to cover those hours. So there are horses for courses. There's no shop units for them to come to Prestatyn anyway. They're all full. But again, it's just to raise awareness, and I think it's how you, it was a simple question. Do you think a Greggs would fit in Prestatyn? We've got two here in Rill.
Yeah.
And back to the high street. It really is good in so much as that if all the people that come to the park went onto the high street, I don't think we'd have enough room for them all. Mm. We're coming now, five weeks away from Christmas, and it's hard to get a car parking space already on Park Prestatyn. And we also know that there are other national companies, there's the rumour mill going again, want to come into town. Then you say, oh, well, I'll compare it with Rill High Street. Don't do that. I'll compare it with the shopping centre just outside of Rill here, the Marina Key. At the minute, unfortunately, there's only three units taken up there.
Yeah.
Again, was there a need for that? Did the developer, was it Scarborough or whoever the development were, did they actually do a proper survey? Is there a need for these units here? I would presume that when Marks and Spencer's, River Island, Tesco's and everything came to Prestatyn, they knew they wanted to be there because we've only had one shop close on the park, and that was a national phone company that went under. Again, the unit was taken up again the following week by another. Yeah. So there must be a need. There must be something. I don't know what the answer is. Prestatyn, a couple of years ago, we were the only Welsh town that got through to the Great British High Street. I was fortunate enough to go down to the awards ceremony in London. It's... it's awe-inspiring when you see yourself against all these big names. You know, that's a big city against Oxford and places like that. But then to realise a little press starting with a population of about 18,000 people is boxing above its weight there. So I guess by, you can hear by the way I'm talking, I'm very proud and very, yeah, and we've done a little bit towards that, I'd like to think. But I don't know what the secret is, because if it is, you'd bottle it and sell it.
You know why I don't think it's fair to compare?
No.
No.
You know, Rio is a lot bigger.
Yeah,
and
of course,
if you think of how many shop units there are across the whole of Rio, if you laid them out in one street, one high street, it would have to be huge. So, you know, it's going to be more difficult, isn't it, to fill those units? There's not actually as many shops as what there were in. There's not as many businesses, are there, as what there were in the past.
No, it's true.
Do you think
sort of Real had it too good for too long, maybe, and didn't really sort of evolve to how the high street was going quick enough?
Or? Real was a lot more of a seaside, or was a lot more of a seaside town than Prestatyn, so that was part of their customers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's not as big as what it was. You know, obviously I've not lived up here from them golden days. But, you know, you get people tell you about how the roads were solid with people coming here.
Yeah.
So, you needed all those shops then.
I suppose as well, it's only sort of the residents of Rill that worry about the high street. The holidaymakers, they're not coming to look in, well, they might do a little bit shop-wise, but they're not sort of coming to look at the big national shops, which they probably would have had at home anyway.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if shopping is the draw. I think the essentials for shopping, the sort of Marks and Spencers, the Boots, the Tesco, where people do a shop out of necessity because they want to get certain things, I think that's a separate market from those who go for a destination, for a cup of coffee, to go and have an ice cream bun, to go and actually see something different than they don't see normally, whereby they don't just have some of the national brands, but they actually have some brands that are really brilliant and really very sort of unique. So I think the people that come over to the North Wales coast, they're wanting to see something familiar, but also something different as well.
Totally agree.
And they don't always want to go to their big cities that are close to them. And so they may not have that variety locally where they live. And they want to come and see something different, something unique, an experience of something. And I think Prestatyn's got more of it because it's got the mix of the essential and something unique. It's got the niche little shops and the places to go. I'm not so sure Rill has got that yet. It's got one or two places that you can go. But it hasn't got those niche shops that would bring people in and say, well, let's go for a meal here. Let's go from Liverpool, Manchester, and let's go over to Rill because it's got some great places to eat. It's got some great places for the kids to be. It's got some nice little shopping that the parents can go to.
Yeah.
And it's a destination town because it's got something brilliant that you don't have locally.
So maybe it just needs to be marketed a lot differently, with more sort of, well, it always has been, I guess, for tourists and holidaymakers, isn't it? And
I think it is, but I think it almost needs to make itself upmarket to sell itself. Not charge more, but make it appeal more upmarket. So if you're taking your kid somewhere, you've got nice Italian names and nice clean frontages to bring people in. They've got nice toilets to go into where people aren't going to be scared about going into toilets, where people are going to see five stars on the hygiene for everything that moves in Rill. So they're not going to go back with a tummy ache, so that they're actually going to really feel that they've come to somewhere, they've had a good time, they're feeling safe, and there's everything for a whole family to come to.
I think as well, we sort of forget how lucky we are in real that you live in the likes of sort of Denby further away again.
Oh, yes.
And they haven't got the national brands and the big shops there. They've got to travel. It's not if you don't drive, it's a bus journey to Rhyl or to Prestatyn to get to them places. I think we're lucky as well that we've got a train station, we've got the easy access to the likes of Chester and Llandudno and different shopping parks as well. So I think sort of people forget that maybe if you're sort of stuck in Rhyl all the time, you sort of forget what other people haven't got as well.
It's always difficult, isn't it, to try and look at something from the outside as if you're not familiar with it. Try and look at it from somebody else's perspective.
Still for me, I don't drive, but I know I can walk into town and find possibly what I want in a 20-minute walk to somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas if you live in the likes of Denby, it's a drive, it's a bus ride, it's...
Get on your horse.
I can hop on a train and go to Chester.
Yeah.
The train is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? The transport links to Rhyl.
Apart from on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Why not on a Sunday?
Because there's hardly any service.
Once every 2 hours on a Sunday.
Once every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I think that's planning to change. Well, train wise,
planning to change. Yeah, hopefully, we'll see some changes with the new provider.
Yeah.
But we have got some Prestatyn Rhyl along the coast, an amazing road and amazing rail links.
Is that a business opportunity for somebody on a Sunday? Coaches and buses and things, an independent bus company.
Wouldn't that be nice to actually have coach tours back to Rhyl and Prestatyn again? And I honestly believe...
The red bus?
Prestatyn, yeah. When you see Rhyl frontage now from Splash Point up to Marina Quay, when you look on the right there now and you see from the new Sunverge, the Travel Lodge, the Pavilion now that's changed and the new restaurant in there coming further along, and now you have Sun Centre 2 there, and then the pathway and everything all the way along to the bridge, the new bridge and the hub on the other side, that's second to none. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, right. I think maybe we need to find, or whoever needs to find a niche that you could say, well, it's perfect for riding a bike along, or it's this. It's finding something, some way of promoting it, because it's an ultra safe area on bikes along the coastal path there, because it's part of Sustrans routes. Yeah,
there is a hub there, isn't there? Yeah. The marina that rents bikes out.
And, yeah, that's right. Yeah. When I was a kid, we used to come over from, because I was born in Liverpool and lived in Liverpool till I was 10. We used to come over to Abergele, we used to call it, but it was basically Pensarn and along this way. It would take all day to get from Liverpool to here, coming along the coast road in all the traffic. There was literally tens of thousands of cars coming along and everybody staying in caravans and having a great time. And then, and I still hear it now, and I still see it on some of the real Facebook pages, people saying, bring the fur back, and that sort of thing. Always go back to the heyday. Well, we used to walk from all the way along, nearly by the railway station, all the way along over the bridge here at Kimnal Bay and into Rhyl, and spend the day in Rhyl and walk back again, absolutely shattered bit of a night. But people don't do that anymore. That's where, in my opinion, Rhyl started changing. Once, say, for instance, we've got the just up the road here. Is it T Prince? Is it with
T Prince? Yeah,
with the big market there and the fairground there and everything, which is really close to holidaymakers' places. Kids don't want to walk as far nowadays, do they? I didn't think twice about that when I was a kid.
No.
But I guess now I'm not walking a 2 or 3 mile into Rhyl. The open top bus isn't running in the summer anymore now, so we haven't got that to bring people in and out to
Electric
Rhyl.
Scooters, they could revolutionise. Electric bikes, electric scooters.
Don't get them onto batteries.
Oh, here we go, put them away.
How about a monorail?
A monorail? That would be brilliant.
That's been done.
Definitely not a hovercraft, though.
It's interesting, I guess. I like the front. I've already been down there myself, and just after sort of the Sunverge opened, and it's good to see there's a reason for people to walk along the prom now.
Yeah.
In the autumn, in the winter. It's not just a summer thing, and I think that's sort of the way they've got to look at it as well, and... Maybe it is pubs and eateries, and that's what people want. Maybe that's the way Rhyl needs to go. I don't know. I'm not the one to sort of decide myself.
out of season holidays and the likes of the Travel Lodge, where you could get a good deal, and there's is it close to 100 rooms or something in that place there? It's a big old place, isn't it? With a restaurant alongside it and a theatre. It's going to be great, isn't it? I think it really... And it, just so 100 people a night, for instance, or 100 rooms a night, if you could fill them at the right rate and then get those people into town, it's a good start, isn't it? And you've got the Premier Inn as well, of course, which is up the road.
Do you think there's sort of maybe a lack of sort of business people as well, that there's people sort of ready to put their hands in the pocket and prestat and make a business and have a go and start something? We mean, Paul was talking about sort of taking that sort of leap to start a business and yesterday and things. Is there more of that in prestat? Is there more opportunities for that maybe? And
it surprises me that even literally people are just popping up, aren't they? People who come not really even have businesses before starting a business and taking that gamble. And it is like a new phone shops just opened where the computer shop was on the corner, because every time a shop's going to shut, oh no, the figures are going to go down, and within days it seems to be somebody moving in there again. We're very lucky. I think things are changing, and I think I can honestly see real, particularly with all the talk that's going on at the moment about housing and increasing social housing. Interestingly, this one that they talked about today at Denbighshire County Council planning was only for people over age 55 on the description. That's what the houses were going to be built for. So I think it's good that they are starting to look after, because we know that's where the population is going to be increasing over the next 20 years or so. So yeah, a bit of foresight there. So, and I also believe that filling empty spaces, I know there's, again, it could be controversial, so it should be a hotel, but I say to a lot of people, a business will only come if it can thinks it can make profit, won't it? It won't come for the good of the town. It'll come if it thinks there's a space there for it and it can make money and it can employ people. Because that's the other big thing, isn't it? We need more employment for particularly youth, you know. Just the last couple of weeks, we've been working alongside a new cafe bar opening. And literally, what's happened, they wanted chefs, and there's from three pubs that I've frequented over the last year or so, the chefs from all three of them pubs have gone to work for them. So it's round robin time, isn't it? It's just, they can't get staff, you know, and particularly with things, the hospitality trade and other things like that, we don't seem to be having a flow of people coming through to service the service industry, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it's a tricky one. I think it's challenging times for an increase in things like that, you know.
I honestly feel that part of that problem is that we haven't developed a whole of life almost for people, so that they can come when they're young, they can have solid jobs, know they're in a place that's going to provide them with solid jobs throughout their life, where they can bring up kids, where they can get a livable wage for the area, and where they can actually have a good lifestyle. And I can't see why that isn't happening, because it's a beautiful area, the jobs are there. The houses, actually, in the main, are there, and they're very affordable compared to many other parts of the country.
So
I'm not sure what it is. Is it just a matter of confidence, or what is it? Because, actually, everything is there.
Yes.
All we need is the people floating around on skates with sort of cocktail glasses in their hand. But actually, but it is there. It's got a beautiful front. I was saying to Craig the other day, I don't know where the fishing industry's gone. The boating industry around, all because you can't seem, even the harbour looks dead at times, although it's a beautiful harbour.
Oh, absolutely.
Lots of boats, isn't
it? Yeah, it's beautiful.
But you don't see them out at sea.
No.
So I'm sure there's missing lots of tricks here, because it's safe, sands, it's apart from unless you run right out when the tide's coming in.
I think as well it goes to, like Peter was saying, it goes to changing people's attitudes, I think, because when you sort of read on, I know it's going back to social media, you sort of read on forums as well, that it's always people asking, why haven't the council done this? Why haven't they done that? And somebody rightly, somebody put that the other day on one of the forums. Somebody rightly put, who is they?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, why aren't you doing it? Yeah. Why isn't, so if somebody has an idea, why not go and try and finance it yourself and do the idea? People keep going on about a roller rink and things, but go out there and see if you can finance it, see if you can find the premises to put it in, see if you can find this. But no, there's always this sort of thing. I don't know if it's just real, or the people of real that I read, that they're just waiting for somebody else to do it all the time. Maybe have had it too good during the 70s and 80s with the backing of councils and things, and now things were... I don't know.
Yeah, I think you might be right in some respects. Everything we've done, we've put on ourselves, right down to the totally locally thing. We organised that and done it. And without blowing our own trumpet, it's understanding what the councils do. You know, a lot of people blame the council, and they don't know whether it's one, it could be town council. Actually, it could be the health board they're talking about, you know. It could be county council, it could be somebody else. So it's like it's the go-to person to blame for everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the council. Sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think you're quite right. A lot of the successful events have been privately run and privately organised. In Brill, Denbighshire County Council, I think we've sort of got the contract for organising it all. Over in Prestatyn, in our town council does it. But our community events, like the Halloween event we had a couple of weeks ago, there was all the shops were involved, basically ourselves were involved. We got the double-decker London bus in and called it a spooktacular bus. That was the community doing it for themselves. And I think maybe if you have been too reliant upon the council in the past, that's the way your mindset stays. So, I mean, because we're volunteers, Steve and I volunteer probably 60 hours a week each, you can get up there, you can get out there and do it, but it does need people. Like you starting the radio station, a community radio station, if you like, you need people to get out there and do things. And that's my opinion, because that's what Steve and I do. But I think you're right, it shouldn't just be blaming the council for everything. But, yeah.
Okay. Anything else we haven't covered?
I think it's right, it's about people, but people will need to do it with other people, don't they?
Yes.
And I think that if you're going to have one really nice cafe in Real, it's going to go downhill very, very quickly. What you need is the infrastructure to support it. And as you say, the front now, from the pavilion coming in, from all of that, shows quality.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think if you have a few nice places coming in, that's going to reflect very, very quickly on a place like Real. Yeah. Because I think that's what's happened in Prestatyn. You've had the right mix of quality products there. And no one's getting a zero or a one on the hygiene, and because it wouldn't even be dreamt of.
Yeah.
They're getting good quality.
And I guess as well, there's businesses in Prestatyn supporting other businesses. I know, like this, we go back to Kim's Kitchen again, but she was using local produce, so she's then supporting somebody else's business, so they're funded and things continue.
It was one of the themes when we did Totally Locally, we did a thing called a Fiver Fest. And the idea was, and it was just after the retail park had opened, was that each week, just go out and spend a fiver on your own high street. Rather than spending it in Tesco's, go out. And at first we had people, I don't know what I'd spend a fiver on.
Yeah, people literally said, oh no, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Think seriously.
Yeah, well, Steve and I'd spend that on a breakfast, wouldn't we? You know, sort of thing. It's and then you are supporting that chain of independence then, isn't it? Like you've just described. So, you know, maybe something like that in the likes of Real might help something, an initiative. You know, like Fiver Fest weekend, and then we did another one where people were giving something 10% off something. So we had the hairdressers, the nail bars, everybody got engaged with that, and they gave 10% off just for one day. And it was again getting people onto the high street to remind them what they've got there. You know.
Well, I think that's where radio we can also come in and do flash sales.
Yeah.
So that particular things can go for a flash sale.
Yeah.
So anyone who's interested in local will pick that up.
Yeah.
If you live in Australia, then it may be a bit sort of far.
Steve's friends, yeah.
Your mates from Australia may have some difficulties. It may have gone.
If they've got an online shop as well, then it works out, isn't it? So,
But that's what Paul mentioned before, again, isn't it? Working together.
Yeah.
I've loved coming in today, and I've loved obviously talking to you over the last few weeks, because I think the ethics are the same, aren't they, in a lot of ways? Yeah. Working with the community and working with other people to try and help each other and grow our slice of the action as well, if you like. Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Sound Radio. The big sound of North Wales.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Sound Radio Wales podcast on iTunes, and you can find them on our website at www.soundradio.wales/podcast.